I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer as we approach the throne of grace. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this beautiful time of year. We thank you for spring being on, sort of on the horizon. I guess it's sort of here, but sort of on the horizon. But we're so grateful for this time of year where we can enjoy you bringing the world, the earth, back to life. And thank you for the reminder of the life that you provide through Christ, that you are in the business of bringing new life. And we thank you for these stories of young men and women who've been reached through the Word of God, and we pray that that would be the case in our world. We pray that that would be the case in Hastings. We pray that that would be the case through the ministries of our church, Lord, that we would see people reached for Jesus Christ through the Word of God. And we pray these things for your glory, Lord, so that you can show yourself strong and so that you can accomplish your purpose through us as you've called us to reach out to the lost in this world. Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God. And Lord, we know that's important because life is hard sometimes, and we know that some of the people that have walked in today have experienced the reality of that hard harshness of life. We know that some entered the doors here today discouraged. We know that some entered today encouraged. My guess is that all of us entered here just a little bit tired because of the time change. But Lord, I thank you that no matter what we have to face in life, no matter the challenges in front of us, no matter the challenges that we're experiencing today, that you are a God who is faithful, that you are a God who is good, that you are always our rock that is higher than we are, and that you long to take us under your everlasting wings to give us the comfort and help we need. And I pray that that would be true in the case of everyone here today. You know the individual challenges and hurts, and Lord, may each heart be touched in a special way today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of opening your word together, and I pray, Lord, that we would be those who would hear your word, that we would be those who would not only understand but would respond. We know that it's possible to hear the word of God and do nothing with it. And Lord, I pray that today we would not respond in that way. I pray that we would respond as willing, obedient servants to what you've called us to do. So Lord, we do ask for your blessing and guidance as we open your word together. And then Lord, as we have the opportunity to worship together later through our giving and through our singing, well, Lord, we pray that it would be done in such a way that you would be pleased. And we know that that has everything to do with our hearts. And so we pray that we would worship you today and do everything we do today with our hearts. Lord, we also want to just pray for us as a local church body. We know, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. We think of the annual meeting tonight, and we know that even though there are some necessary business items to take care of, that really the focus of tonight is going to be on you, on what you have accomplished and what you want to accomplish, and we pray that even that meeting tonight would be done for your honor and glory. So, Lord, we give you this day in a special way. We come to you humbly, and we come to you as grateful people, and we just ask for your will to be done in our lives this day, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to open with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read together, beginning in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll stand in honor of God's Word. First Corinthians 7, verse 17. Only as God has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called a slave? Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. But if you were able to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. You may be seated. There's a well-known phrase that I think most of you know, and I'd like you to help me finish it this morning. It begins this way: the grass is always greener on the other side, or on the other side of the fence. And I thought it might be good just to reflect on that a minute, because it's so easy to always be thinking in terms of what's on the other side of the fence instead of being content with where God has placed us. It's always like, well, what's over there? And I think through some of these animal illustrations, because animals think the same way, they think the grass is always greener on the other side, I thought it might just bring to light some of this reality to us. So let's look at this first picture here. Some of you who raise cattle know a little bit about this. You've seen this kind of picture sometimes. And then the next one actually shows that it can get really serious when you try to find grass on the other side that looks greener. And it isn't limited to cattle. Any of you who have horses may have seen something like this. And then sometimes it gets really, really difficult when you're trying to find the grass that's greener on the other side. One of my favorite cartoons is these two beautiful lush pastures, and there's this fence, and the two pastures are right next to each other, and it's just beautiful on both sides of the fence, and there are these two cows, and they're both reaching through the fence, eating grass on the other side, and they're both thinking at the same time, so the grass is really greener. But the question is that really true? The answer is not always. The reality is that we can become so preoccupied with what's over on the other side, with the grass that seems to be greener over there, that we forget to appreciate the great blessings that God has given us right where we are, and the way He wants to use us right where we are. In essence, that was the struggle of the believers in Corinth. They were trying to figure out this grass seems greener on the other side issue. They were struggling. They had come to faith in Christ, but they were thinking, it seems like everything just needs to change so I can serve God better. But Paul says, not necessarily. The people were saying, maybe I need to change all of my circumstances. Paul says, be careful. Now, when it comes to a sinful lifestyle, yes, that is the kind of thing that needs to change, and it needs to change in a very significant way. He'd made that point earlier in 1 Corinthians 6. If you look back with me, he'd already addressed this in the previous chapter. In chapter 6, verse 9, he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Paul begins by encouraging them in the reality that although they had been part of this sinful type of lifestyle with all this list of all these different sins, he's saying you're different now. Now you've been washed. That's who you were. Such were some of you. That's who you were. Now you're washed. You've been cleansed through Jesus. Now you're sanctified. You've been set apart for something very special by God. You've been justified. You've been declared righteous. You've been given the very righteousness of Christ. And so that's part of who you were. Don't let that be part of who you are. And then in verse 18 of chapter 6, he says this, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Paul could not be any more clear. You're totally different. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You can't live that old way anymore. You have a brand new way to live. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you, so therefore glorify God in your body. So Paul is very clear here. When it comes to your sin, radical change. When it comes to your circumstances, not necessarily. And it's obvious the Corinthians were really struggling with this because, as we saw last week at the beginning of chapter 7, we know that they wrote a letter to Paul trying to figure out some of these things. Verse 7, now concerning the things about which you wrote. And we don't even know specifically the questions they must have asked the Apostle Paul, but we don't know specifically the questions they ask, but we have a real good idea because of the things he talks about in the chapter. He's answering their questions. And so they must have asked things like, they must have asked questions like, now that we are saved, should we be celibate in marriage because of the sexual perversion all around us? And Paul's answer is no. That's not the right response. You don't change that circumstance. You stay married, and husbands have an obligation to meet the needs of their wife. The wives have the obligations of have the obligation of meeting the needs of their husband. Some others may have asked, if we are widows or if we are unmarried, if we are in those kinds of difficult situations, should we always be looking for a way to get married? And Paul says, not necessarily. He used himself as an example. He said, I'm actually single. And there's benefit in that. I'm more and more free to serve the Lord because I have more time to do that. So just because you are currently unmarried, don't make marriage your only goal. Serve God right where you are. And then there were other people who must have asked the question, okay, can I serve God better if I'm not married to the person I'm married to? Should I get out of my marriage, especially if I'm married to someone who's not a believer in Jesus? And Paul's answer to them was no. Stay with it. Do your best to make that marriage work. You can't always make it work. Sometimes the other spouse will decide to end the marriage. You can't control that. You have to let them go. But do your best to make the marriage work. Don't always be all about changing your circumstances. Serve God right where God has placed you. So obviously the Corinthians were asking question after question, should I change my circumstances? Should I change this circumstance and this and this and this about my life? And Paul says, you need to think about that. Don't just do that automatically. Don't let that change be your default mode. Now up to this point, Paul had discussed quite thoroughly that whole issue as it relates to marriage, but now he moves into another further discussion to expand on that idea even more. And we see that beginning in verse 17 of chapter 7. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. He says, as God has called each, in this manner walk. Or in other words, in this manner, live your life. And several times, Paul in this passage refers to God's calling. And when he talks about God's calling, he's talking about God's calling to salvation. He's talking about the time where a person comes to faith in Christ. And he's saying, when God calls you, wherever he's called you, he wants you to serve him. And that's great advice. And it wasn't just for the Corinthians. It says, Paul says very clearly here, it's what I say in all the churches. This was important advice for all Christians. It's a universal principle. It applies to Corinth. It applies to Ephesus. It applies to Colossae. It applies to Hastings. It applies to you. It applies to me. Serve the Lord right where you are. When the Lord calls you, when the Lord saves you, serve the Lord right where you are. If it's an area of sin, you have to leave that behind, but otherwise, serve the Lord right where you are. And so often we run into Christians and they come to faith in Christ and they think, if only I was in a different circumstance, I could really serve the Lord. My guess is you've even had that idea cross your mind. If only this was true about my life, boy, then I could really serve the Lord. And Paul is saying you don't have to wait for different circumstances to serve the Lord. You can serve Him right where you are. The truth is, if we're not serving Him in our current circumstances, what it really is the possibility of us serving Him effectively in our future circumstances? We're called to serve Him here. There's an old phrase that I think is important here, and you know how it goes as well. It starts this way: bloom where you are planted. Just bloom where you are planted, and that's what God calls all of us to do. But the Corinthians were struggling with all of this, and some of this, them must have been trying to process all of this, and some were saying, well, if I'm a Jew, should I become a Gentile? And if I'm a Gentile, should I become a Jew? And how does all that work together? Should I change that circumstance? And Paul answers that in verse 18. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? That Jewish rite, that Jewish mark of the covenant. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? Excuse me. He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Paul says that's not the issue. Now, when we read here about this whole circumcision becoming uncircumcised and uncircumcised becoming circumcised, we're kind of going, how does all that work? And I think when we think about it, well, we think we understand historically that there were some Gentiles who wanted to so identify with the Jewish nation that they would actually, those men would actually go under the knife and experience circumcision. We sort of understand that. We understand how that could happen. But then we read here, as Paul states it, the circumcised becoming uncircumcised, how could that happen? And I think it's important to understand there's some historical background to that, because a couple of centuries before Paul wrote these words, in the Mediterranean area, some of the Mediterranean area, there were some Jews who were a little bit ashamed of being a Jew. And they'd been previously circumcised. And they so wanted to be identified and accepted in the Greek culture that they actually had minor surgery performed, so that then when they were in the places of public baths and the places of gymnasium and athletics where sometimes they were exposed, they would be viewed as being uncircumcised. So Paul may have had that in mind, although that's a pretty vivid word picture. That's what Paul has here in mind. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Paul's saying, just remain in the state where God has called you. When you come to Christ, just stay there. Be content with that. You don't have to change all that. There may have been some Jewish men who, when they came to faith in Christ, saw some of the errors of the whole Jewish system. And they may have said, well, in response to that, I just want to be totally removed from being identified with the Jewish system at all. And so they would have wanted to take some pretty decisive action. And then there may have been others who were Gentiles and wanted to become Jews and wanted to be more identified with the people of God, and saying, well, maybe I should be circumcised. And Paul says, don't go there. Don't change your circumstances. That's not necessary. That's not what really matters. He even says in verse 19, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. It's not about this external stuff. It's about a change of heart that results in obedience. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. It's not about changing all your outward circumstances. And then he says in verse 20, each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. It's not about Jewishness or the lack of thereof. And then Paul goes on to talk about the fact it's not about slavery or the lack thereof. Look at verse 21. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, when we begin talking about slavery in the Bible, we need to understand something of that in a historical context. We need to understand that in the days of the New Testament, slavery was very common. And where did all the slaves come from? They came from military victories. There were city-states and there were nations who would defeat other city-states or nations. And when they defeated those nations, what would they do with all the people that surrendered at the end of the battle? They had two options. One was destroy them so they would never rebel again. The second option was take them as slaves. And so, in reality, in this period of history, sometimes slavery was the more humane option, taking them as slaves as opposed to just wiping them out. We also need to understand that everyone who is taken as a slave had varying degrees of ability and training. Some of the slaves were very menial laborers, but others were not. Many of the slaves were accountants and doctors and lawyers and skilled craftsmen and teachers. And when they became slaves, they continued to serve in those roles and became very important in the communities to where they were taken. Now, there were some great opportunities for them, and for some of them, they had a good life. One commentator said this: unlike most slaves throughout history, the slaves in that day were often better educated, more skilled, and more literate and cultured than the average free person. So a slave could end up with a pretty good life. Now, obviously, that wasn't true all of the time. There were many, many, many slaves who were treated horribly, had a horrible life, had a horrible existence. That always happens when slavery shows up. But there were some who had more of what we would consider a normal life, even a fruitful life. And we need to understand that when the gospel came into places like Corinth and other places in the New Testament, there were many people saved, and some of those people were slaves. We read about slaves being addressed in places, other places in Scripture other than 1 Corinthians. There were slaves probably in most of the churches that sprung up because they were just intermixed in society. And so when they would gather together, they would be actually joined as a local church with businessmen who were free and teachers who were free and other leaders who were free and men and women who owned their own businesses and all that kind of thing. So there were slaves and free all mixed together. And how was that supposed to happen? And they may have been looking around thinking, well, now that I'm free in Christ, maybe I need to be totally free from slavery. Maybe I just need to break loose of all of that. And Paul says, not necessarily. Look at verse 21. Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather do that. Now, Paul makes a very important point here. He's saying, you know, slavery is not the best option. If there's a way you can earn your freedom, if there's a way you can pay for your freedom, go for it. Go for it. But that's not the biggest issue. If you cannot get out of your slavery situation, don't worry about it. Why? Verse 22, for he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. He's saying, keep your perspective. If you're saved while a slave, think about it. You're the Lord's freedman. You've been set free. You have your freedom in the most important thing. You've been set free from sin. You've been set free from bondage to sin. You've been set free to serve the Lord. You're the Lord's freedman. But for those of you in the church who aren't slaves, just remember, you're not out of this servant idea. You are the Lord's slave. You are the Lord's servant. Keep your perspective. It's not all about your outward circumstances. And then he says in verse 23, you were bought with a price, do not become slaves of men. I do not think here that Paul is still talking about physical slavery. I think here he's talking more about slavery to the ideas of men and to the ways of men. He says, don't go there. Don't think like the world thinks. You've been bought with a price through the precious blood of Jesus. Don't become slaves to try to pleasing men, the ways of the world. Whether you're slave or free, you can be slaves to the wrong thing. And Paul says, don't go there. And then he closes in verse 24 with these familiar words, brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Now that's the summary point of this entire paragraph. Did you notice how often Paul said that? It's the third time he said, you don't have to change your circumstances. Verse 17 again. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. Live your life right where you are, right where God has called you. Verse 20. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Verse 24. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in the condition in which he was called. Just stick it out right where you are, to the best of your ability, right where God has placed you. Don't always be looking to make a big change. But what I love about the last time he summarizes this, at the end of the paragraph, he adds something. Did you notice that? Brethren, each one of you is to remain with God. He's saying you're right where God has you, and God is right there with you. You're serving with the Lord in the situation where God has placed you, and that is a high calling. And that brings perspective, and that brings hope, and that brings encouragement, because we're not in this thing alone. We're not here to face our circumstances all by ourselves. We're in this thing with God. In a very special way, he wants to be clear that we are understanding that his presence is very real, no matter what our circumstances. Let each one remain with God in that condition in which he has been called. I think Paul is making this point. The tendency when we are struggling with our circumstances is we focus on our circumstances. And we focus on needing to somehow change all of that. And Paul is saying what your focus needs to be is on God. He's with you in your current circumstance, and he's there to get you through. And you can glorify God right where you are. John MacArthur writes these words, conversion is not the signal for a person to leave his social condition, his marriage or his singleness, his human master or his other circumstances. We are to leave sin and anything that encourages sin, but otherwise we are to stay where we are until God moves us. So the reality is that sometimes God does want us to change. He does want our circumstances to be different, but not always. So when we are saved, what does God want us to do? He wants us to remain in the condition when we came to Christ. And he wants us to serve him faithfully right where we are. Now that does not mean God wants us to give up all our hopes and dreams. That does not mean that God sometimes doesn't have people relocate or do different things. Sometimes those things happen. But according to this passage, if we are married, if we are single, if we are widowed, if we are divorced, if we are Jew, if we are Gentile, if we are slaves, if we are free, God has us right where we are for a purpose, and he wants us to serve him right where we are. And he doesn't want us to live our lives always thinking about the grass that surely must be greener on the other side. He wants us to realize that where we are right now, there's something very special about that, and God wants us to use us right here. And if we're focused on our circumstances, it's impossible to focus on them and God at the same time. So we have to focus on God, put Him first, realize He's with us, and it really does change everything. And there are times we have to say to God, God, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I don't even like my current circumstances. And I think you know that already because you know everything. And we just need to say to God, God, I don't understand all that's going on. I don't understand what you're doing, but I do know this. You're with me. And I know that even though this circumstance is extremely difficult, somehow you're going to see me through. And that really does change everything. And I think it's extremely important because as Christians, it's easy to be restless all the time. And always be thinking, if only this were true, I could serve the Lord so much better. I kind of made a list. If only I had a better job. If only I had a better pastor. If only I had a different church. If only I had better health. If only I had a more supportive family. If only I had a spouse. If only I had a different spouse. If only I had a nicer house. If only I had better parents. If only I had more money. If only I had a more fulfilling career. If only I had better work hours. If only I lived in a different community. If only I was retired. If only I wasn't retired. If only I had different co-workers. If only my schooling was completed. Boy, then I could really serve the Lord. And in the midst of those kinds of struggles, you know what God wants us to realize? He has us right where we are for a purpose. And He's with us. And He'll see us through. And we can glorify Him in a wonderful way right where we are. You know what God is really shouting from this passage is He's saying, stop focusing on your circumstances. Focus on me. Because I want to use you right where you are. And I don't know exactly where all of you are at this precise moment, but I'm guessing that some of you right now are really unhappy with your current circumstances. And all you think every day is, if only my circumstances were different. And God, through this passage today, just wants to remind you, your circumstances may be different, but I'm still with you in this. You may wish that your circumstances were different, but I'm with you in this, and I have a purpose and plan for you right where you are. At some point, God may lead you to make a change. But God wants you to serve Him right where you are, even if nothing ever changes. I ran across a couple of great quotes this week. Whoever looks for greener grass on the other side will never be able to appreciate the green grass that was right under their feet the entire time. The other one, and I think fertilizer companies might use this one. You may think that the grass is always greener on the other side, but if you take time to water your own grass, it would be just as green. It's almost as if those people are paraphrasing exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And as we close this morning, I would like us to once again stand, and I would like us to read together this passage as it's rendered in the Message. I think the Message does an excellent job of just getting the exact idea of what Paul's talking about. So would you stand with me together and let's read aloud together from the Message translation of the Word of God. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than on the others. I give this same counsel in all the churches. Were you Jewish at the time God called you? Don't try to remove the evidence. Were you non-Jewish at the time of your call? Don't become a Jew. Being Jewish isn't the point. The really important thing is obeying God's call, following His commands. Stay where you were when God called your name. Were you a slave? Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you would never have dreamed of. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamed of. All of you, slave and free, were once held hostage in a sinful society. Then a huge sum was paid out of your ransom. Please don't, out of old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you were called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with Him at your side. Let's pray. Lord, you've asked us to stay where you called us to be, that you're there. And you've asked us to hold the high ground with you at our side. Father, make us willing to do that. By an act of our will, may we submit to your plan. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives right where we are. And I would pray that we would not always be looking for the grass that is greener on the other side, but that we would bloom right where you have planted us. And may we do these things for your glory. And now, Lord, as we have the chance to worship you through our giving, may we do so out of a heart of gratefulness for all that you've done for us. For your presence, for your care, for your guarantee that no matter what we face, you're in there with us. For the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, a gift we could never have earned. We're so thankful for all that we have. And may you be glorified with our worship as we give and as we sing. Because you are worthy of all that we have. We give you thanks in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.